tonight, 2 Peter chapter 1. This will actually be our last lesson on adding to our faith. So after tonight, you don't have to worry about adding anymore. This is our last school night. No homework. Adding to our faith, 2 Peter, chapter 1, verse 5, said, "And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue." You say, "Preacher, I have faith, that's enough." Well, that's enough to get you to heaven. But that's not enough for this life. And the Lord says to add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, verse 6, and to knowledge temperance, and we've studied each of these words, and to temperance, Bernie's favorite word, patience, and to patience, godliness, to godliness, brotherly kindness, and then tonight we come and adding to brotherly kindness, charity. So tonight we're going to talk about adding to our faith charity. Joel's still trying to get everybody covered there. When I saw the group, I ran back and had Sonia make some more copies so we'd have enough. The word charity appears 28 times in the Bible. That gives us enough of a basis to study that word to find out how God uses it and God intends to use it. Now, there is a catch. There's always a catch. And that is that the word charity is only found in the King James Bible. And when I say the King James, I mean the 1611 King James, because even the New King James does not have the word charity in it. In all of the modern Bible versions, they change the word charity to love. And love is not a bad thing, but love is not charity. You know how I know that? Because love is spelled L-O-V-E. Charity is spelled C-H-A-R-I-T-Y. They're not the same thing. And so there's a distinction between love and charity, but that's only found in our old English Bible. The modern versions of our English Bible have diluted our language, is what's happened. We're dropping out those words. Now, the reason would be is because our modern definition of charity is not the biblical definition of charity. Charity today, you'll see this, and I'm getting ahead of myself, but number one, the explanation of charity. As we look at the explanation of charity, the word charity today simply means giving something away for free. Cell phones. Food stamps, whatever it might be. Charity, giving it away for free. Charitable deductions, what you give to your church in your tithes and offerings at tax time can be listed as charitable deductions, and that's not a bad thing. But that modern terminology tends to make us apply that to the word charity in the Bible, and in the Bible, the word charity does not mean a handout. It does not mean something given for free. Now, whether that's the reason that modern Bibles drop that word, it still does injustice to the Bible because they're making it love the same as all the other times the word love appears, and this word doesn't fit in that category. We'll talk about that more just in a moment. So biblical charity is not giving something away for free. Also, in the explanation of charity, biblical charity, as we're saying, is not the same as love. It is a higher virtue than love. Charity is a higher plane than love. Now, love's a pretty great thing. You're to love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your might. But at the same time, charity is a step above that. Charity is doing something with that love. And we'll talk about that here as we go on. Notice it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 8 that charity never faileth. That's what Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 13:8. Charity never faileth. But there's a problem. Love can and often does fail. The divorce rates in our country are evidence that love can fail. You know, for a long time I didn't buy this argument that when I'm doing counseling, things like that, people would say, well, I just fell out of love with her. Or I fell out of love with him. And something grated me inside. And I thought, no, that's just not possible. But then God showed me Revelation chapter 2 and verse number 4, where God said to the church at Ephesus, thou hast left thy first love. So it is possible to fall out of love. Now, it doesn't excuse it. It doesn't make it right. But it is possible to happen. So if it's possible to fall out of love, and if the church at Ephesus that loved the Lord Jesus Christ, loved Him above everything, but backed off or became cool in that love, if they were able to fall out of love, as it were, then love does fail sometimes. But the Bible says, charity never faileth. So charity is a higher plane than love. We can't take it. People quote 1 Corinthians 13, if I have, you know, if I can do all works and mysteries and prophesies, but have not charity. And they like to change that to love because it just sounds nice. But the biblical word for that is charity, something higher than love. Paul said this in 2 Timothy 4:10 about one of his co-workers, Demas. He said, Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. From 30-some-odd years in the ministry, I can tell you I've seen a lot of folks that once were on fire for God, that loved the Lord with all their heart, but their hearts got cold. And they left the church, and they left the fellowship of the saints, and they left the body of Christ, and they went back to the world that they'd been saved and delivered out of in the first place. So what happened? Well, Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. Demas traded in his love for the Lord and his love for the Apostle Paul as a servant of God, traded that in for the things of the world. So love can fail. So when we change the Bible to meet our understanding, when we take charity never faileth and make it love never faileth, we violate principles. We violate truth. Whether we understand it or recognize it or not, the Bible is to be left alone. If we don't understand it, we don't change it to where we understand it. That doesn't make any sense. So charity is on a higher plane than love. It's not love. It's not a free handout. It's not giving. But I would propose to you tonight that charity is a combination of those two things. Notice number 2, the example of charity. The explanation of charity. Well, I skipped letter C, didn't I? Letter A, biblical charity is not giving something away for free. B, biblical charity is not the same as love. Letter C, biblical charity is defined as a love that gives. That's what biblical charity is. A love that gives. Not a love that demands. That's what a lot of people's definition of love is today. Well, I will love that person as long as they meet my needs. I will love that person as long as it's about me. Well, that's not charity. Charity is a love that wants to meet the demands of the other person. Charity is the one that wants to give to the other person. So biblical charity is defined as a love that gives. We could call it also love in action. That's a good definition of it, but to fit what we're doing tonight, we're going to stick with a love that gives. Then look at number 2, the example of charity. Understanding the definition that charity is a love that gives, then let's look for the best example of that. And that's in John chapter 3 and verse 16. For God so loved the world that He gave. If God had loved the world, but had not given His Son Jesus Christ, we would not understand the love of God. We would question the love of God. But because His love caused Him to give, that's charity, and we understand the love of God. God's love was not self-centered. God's love was not for Himself. God's love for the world caused Him to give. It was love in action. It was a love that gives. So we put that. So loved plus He gave equals charity. You and I give to charity. Again, I mentioned this Sunday, I get phone calls here all the time from the village of Bysville wanting donations for this or that, from the Salvation Army. I got one today. I get them from the police department. I get them from Secret Santa. The church all the time is being asked to give charity to other places. But charity is not just giving. When I give to those places, you know, when I give to one of those, if I give to one of those, I'll go back to something I did give. I gave to one of the presidential candidates. How's that? I gave to one, I regret it to this day, because I got on their mailing list. And even though the fellow that I donated to didn't win the primary, he's still in politics, and so we still have to raise our coffers and get more money in there. And so I get emails all the time. But I gave it. I didn't give it because I loved him. I gave it as a charity, as a gift. That's not love. Charity, real charity, is loving so much that it compels you to give. So you understand what we're trying to get at, that love is a higher, or charity is a higher plane than love. By taking it and watering it down to love, we're doing an injustice to the 28 times this word's used in the Bible. The example of charity, the greatest example, is that God so loved that He gave. Number three, the exercise. I know you don't like that word. The exercise of charity. Sometimes the only exercise we get is running to conclusions. But there's an exercise of charity. All right, we know what charity is. It's a higher plane than love. But how do we apply this? Well, letter A under number three, so we find out, first of all, from 1 Corinthians 14:1, that we are to follow after it. Follow after it. The Bible says, follow after charity. That means we are to pursue it. We are to look for opportunities to show it. And again, that's not just giving a handout. If you help, I saw a guy on a bike today, and he was, I think it was on Route 22. So it wasn't a place where I could stop and pull over. But on a bike, the guy's riding his bike, and it said on the back, I am hungry. Please help. Something like that. If we stop and we give money to someone like that, that's charity by the world's definition, but that's not biblical charity. Now, I'm not saying you can't do that. But that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about when you love someone so much that you give. Now, if I were to pull over and give that guy money just to help him out, that's not a bad thing. But it doesn't mean I love him. I don't even know him. So that biblical charity is when you give for someone you know because of that. It's love in action. It's love and giving combined together. How do we get it? Well, how do we exercise it? We follow after it. Letter B. Not only do we follow after, but we put it on. We put on charity. We put on charity. Colossians 3:14 says, and above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. See that word bond? Blessed be the tie that binds our hearts in Christian love. You know what the bond of perfectness is? When we care, when we love one another enough to give. Love one another enough to give. Now, don't be an American for just a moment. And when I say give, put a dollar sign there. But we love enough to give of our time, of our attention, of our prayers, of our concern, of our love. When we care enough about somebody to give those things. You know, when our senior saints, and I'm not talking about those that are even here. I mean our super senior saints. When they get to that point in life where they feel all alone and there's no one to talk to and they are difficult to talk to and there's not much benefit from speaking to them. You know, when we sit by their side, when they might not even understand that much that we're talking about, we don't understand what they're, but we just sit there to be with them. You know what that is? That's love in action. when we're sitting by the bedside of somebody in the hospital and we don't even know the words to say when they've gone through some traumatic thing, but we just sit there with them. What is that? That's love in action. Now someone might say, well, I love that person that's going through that need, but we don't go to them, we don't comfort them. That's not a bad thing, but that's not the step to charity. So charity is something that we put on, and when we do, it's the bond of perfectness. How often do we do something for someone else's benefit because we love them? And it inconveniences us. Or it doesn't fit into our schedule. I'm going to hurry and hit the altar here and shut up in just a minute. Because I think we're all guilty of that, and I know I am many times. We put it on. Letter C. How do we exercise charity? Letter C, by being an example of it. Be an example of charity. Others will learn from our example. They learn good things from your example. They learn bad things from your example. Sunday evening we'll be in 2 Timothy chapter 1, finishing up verses 13 to 18. I was working on that a little bit today. And it's all about being an example. There's the example of the Apostle Paul. There's the example of those in Asia. And there's the example of a man named, I think it's Onesiphorus. All of us are an example to other people, one way or the other. And we need to be an example of charity. Be thou an example of the believers, Paul told Timothy in 1 Timothy 4:12. Be an example in charity. Set the example for other people. Show that you care. You know, a lot of times we ask somebody how they're doing and we really don't want to know. We really don't want the answer. We're just being polite. But charity takes it a little farther than that. Charity makes us concerned for how other people are, what they're going through, what they're doing. You can see the benefit of that in the body of Christ, in the church, to actually care about one another. So that's the exercise of charity. Then number four, we see the expressions of charity. Now, the expressions are the results. When we begin to exercise charity, it shows results. Everything we expend energy doing in our Christian life is going to have a result. Every action has an equal and opposite reaction. The law of thermodynamics. All right. When we exercise ourselves to charity, there's going to be some things that are evident from it. And number one in the expressions of charity is it edifies. It edifies. You'll see the word at the end of the verse. Knowledge puffeth up, but charity edifieth. Getting ready to teach the book of Revelation. Probably late fall, early winter, we'll start into that. And a lot of people like to learn the book of Revelation because they want to know all the exciting, apocalyptic, Armageddon-type things that are going to happen. And of course, as Christians, we're glad they're all going to happen after we're taken out of here. But we like the book of Revelation because we like to know these things. And I mentioned on social media on Facebook about a month or so ago that I was studying the book of Revelation to get ready to teach it, and another pastor put on there that he's taught through it 9 times already. And I don't understand why you would teach 9 times through that same book when there's 65 others that are in there in the Bible. I mean, I understand the book of Revelation, but you know why? Because we want that knowledge. We want to know all these things so that we can tell everybody what's going to happen. But the Bible says that knowledge puffeth up, but charity edifieth. You know why? Because charity is humbling. Knowledge is, look what I know. Look what I've learned. Look what I can tell you or teach you. But charity is, like I said, sitting by the bedside of that person that can do us no good or do us no benefit, but we can be a benefit to them. That's what charity is all about. So the Bible says that charity edifies. Edifies means to build up. You encourage someone else when they know that you really care. In this line of knowledge puffeth up, but charity edifieth, I'm sure you heard this. They don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. And that's true when we're trying to reach this outside world for Christ. They don't care how much we know till they know that we really and sincerely care. So we need to put on charity because charity edifies. Letter B. Not only does charity edify, but it covers a multitude of sins. It covers a multitude of sins. 1 Peter 4:8 says, "And above all things have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover the multitude of sins." You know, there's things that I wouldn't like about you if I knew you well enough. And there are things, I know this will shock you, that you wouldn't like about me if you knew me well enough. In fact, if you knew me like I know me, you wouldn't like me. That sounds bad. That's not because I don't do terrible and awful things, but I know my heart. And you know your heart. But what covers all that over? Charity. Charity, our love and our concern for one another. Understanding we're all human. We're all wrapped in this body of flesh, and none of us is perfect. And the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. And there's none righteous, no, not one. And yet we've been washed in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, and though we're not perfect yet, we're on our way to getting there. And in the meantime, we have charity one toward another. In other words, when we do find out something about that other person that's not favorable to them, instead of kicking them while they're down, we try to lift them up. Instead of gossiping about them and stabbing them in the back, we try to encourage them. That's what charity is all about. Charity builds up. Charity covers a multitude of sins. See how much higher charity is than just love, and love's a wonderful thing. But we're talking about a higher level here. Letter C. In the expressions of charity, it edifies, it covers. Letter C, it is, Bernie, patient. It is patient. He tells me every time I preach on patience, I'm preaching to him. So I'll just name him when I'm right there, all right? And my name's right behind his too. It is patient. Charity is patient. It says in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, and there's little snippets of quotes here from verse 4, verse 5, verse 7 that all fit into this. Charity suffereth long. Suffereth long. That means it waits for the result of things. You know, we judge things too quickly. The news media does that all the time. Something happens and they automatically assume it fits what they want it to be. And it's not till a week later that all the facts start to come out and people find out they contradicted the truth of what actually happened because we don't wait to get all the information. The Bible says that charity suffereth long. It is not easily provoked. It beareth all things. It endureth all things. Charity is patient, not quick to judge, not quick to condemn. Letter D. It is kind. 1 Corinthians 13:4 says, charity is kind. You know what this world needs a little more of? Not love, sweet love. I just tested your age there. This world needs a little bit more of is charity, sweet charity. A love that is giving. A love that is kind. Be kind one toward another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Ephesians 4:32. Be kind. Letter E. Charity is not envious. Charity is not envious. 1 Corinthians 13:4 also says, charity envieth not. You know what envy is? Being jealous over someone else's good fortune. Being jealous over someone else's benefits. It's almost like coveting. Well, God, why did you do that for them and you didn't do that for me? God, why did you take care of them and you didn't take care of me? Charity envieth not. It rejoices in the blessings of God given to someone else. When you're driving around in that car where the wheels are falling off and the engine block's about to go through, and God gives someone else you know that's not as good a person as you are, that just doesn't even love God like you do, and God gives them the new car instead of giving it to you, you know what charity does? It envieth not. It rejoices when someone else gets the blessing. It rejoices when someone else gets the benefit. That's what charity does. You understand this evening we need to start exercising ourselves to charity and having some of these expressions in our life. Letter F, the expressions of charity. Letter F, it is not proud. It is not proud. Charity vaunteth not itself. Vaunteth means lifting itself up. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, seeketh not her own. That goes along with what we were saying about being envious. When we have charity, we rejoice in the benefits of others, the blessings that God gives to others. That's what charity does for us. And then finally, letter G. And I guess I like this the best. Charity never fails. It never fails. We talked about this at the beginning. Love does fail sometimes. Love does turn cold sometimes. Whether it's right or wrong, justified or not, doesn't matter. It does happen. But charity never fails. When we develop that, when we exercise and show the expressions of charity, that doesn't go away. A person that gets to that point in their life usually does not turn away from it. When they're in the place where they give, when they're in the place where they desire the benefits of other people more than they desire their own, when we get to that place, it never fails. It says in 1 Corinthians 13, verse 9 and verse 13, charity never faileth. And now abide faith, hope, and charity, but the greatest of these is charity. Not love. Something higher than love. The greatest of these is something higher. A love that gives. Charity. Peter said this, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness. Add to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness add charity. Say, preacher, I'm saved and I'm on my way to heaven. I've trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior. Well, hallelujah. But you got your work cut out for you down here. Jesus did all the work necessary for you to get up there. He died on the cross for your sins. You put your faith and trust in Him. You've got faith, but now you're supposed to add virtue and knowledge and temperance and patience. How's your adding doing? Let's stand together tonight with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. Father, what a challenge from your word tonight.